Grab your seats and a songbook. Let's turn to Psalm 210. 210, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Opportunity to come to church. Please fill pastor with your spirit. Help us to be edified by the sermon this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to our next song, song number 208. Grace greater than our sin. Song 208.
Our guilt, yonder on Calvary. tonight. At this time, we'll go through our announcements together. As you can see by the packed house this morning, reports of our demise have been greatly exaggerated. Our service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30. Preaching service, Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week will be in 2 Chronicles chapter number 22. We've got the soul winning times below, as well as salvations and baptisms. Across the page there, congratulations to the Stiles family on baby Jude Alexander, born Thursday, September 26th, 7 pounds, 6 ounces, 20 inches long. Please speak to Mrs. Amanda Wright if you would like to provide a meal. Also, all ladies and teen girls are invited to a maternity shower today in honor of Eileen Urban, and that is from 2 to 4 p.m. There will be a catered lunch served. Hopefully, you've already RSVP'd, but look, remember with these type of things, even if you don't RSVP, it's better to RSVP, but if you don't RSVP, you can always just show up to this. So don't be shy, ladies and girls, about showing up to this. You don't have a gift or whatever, not a problem. There's no requirement to bring a gift whatsoever. This is just something for all of the church to have fellowship, that ladies and teen girls, that is. And so that's this afternoon at 2 o'clock. You can come and congratulate Eileen, get to know Eileen, and so forth. Below that, next Sunday, October 6th, we'll have the donuts and coffee before the service, as we always do on the first Sunday of each month. On the back, we've got the note about the portraits for our annual yearbook every Sunday, September 15th through November 3rd. It seems like you have a lot of time, but you know how these things are. They go by pretty quick. So get signed up before you end up regretting it for the rest of your life that you didn't get a beautiful portrait taken, either as a single, as a couple, as a family, whatever your situation. We want to get you photographed. You'll have a nice portrait for yourself. And you'll also get to be in the yearbook. And then we'll all get to receive a yearbook in a couple months when it is done. Below that, thank you to those who participated with Brother Alex Larson down in Coolidge. 16 soul winners with 15 salvations. Other upcoming events, we've got the chili cook-off coming up on October the 31st. And then we've got the missions conference coming up Wednesday, November 6th to Sunday, November 10th. We'll have stuff going on throughout the day on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, as well as our normal Wednesday and Sunday services for that week. That is about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and sing our next song. Come lead us.
Inside your hymnal, you should find Psalm 150. Please raise your hand if you don't have one. Psalm 150.
Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his crown, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with
All right, at this time, we'll go ahead and pass our offering plates around. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20, as we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Corbin Brock as he reads Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1.
Exodus chapter number 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be in church. Lord, I pray you just fill Pastor Anderson with your spirit and help this sermon to be edifying to us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Man, the title of my sermon this morning is My Answer to Them Who Examine Me. My answer to them who examine me. This is a quote from the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, because in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, there are people that are hurling false accusations at the Apostle Paul. And so, especially in 2 Corinthians, he spends a lot of time defending himself about the things that he's being accused of. And 1 Corinthians 9:3 says, Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, and I'm going to give you my answer today to those who examine me. I have 7 different points that I want to give you this morning. If you would start by turning to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Point number 1, my accusers teamed up with a literal Satan-worshipping transvestite.
Amen.
Okay, and you know what? We could pretty much almost just close our Bibles and go home right now. Okay? Because anybody with a brain in their head knows that you don't go to Satan to tell the truth. You go to Satan because you want to tell lies. Okay? Now look, this channel that has put out these videos, it literally, as its background, has a lamb on it with a Satan symbol on the lamb's forehead, a pentagram in the lamb's forehead. The guy is in drag. He is a man dressed up as a woman. The video that all these Christians are promoting this week and sending around all over the internet, literally you click on it. The first thing you're going to see is a man in makeup, in a flowery dress with a Satan symbol.
Right. oh, you guys need to see this and whatever. Well, they had to go to...
And they keep calling him Jordan. I'm like, Jordan is a river in Israel. Don't humanize this freak, this pervert, this animal.
He said, well, you know, they had to go to this tranny or whatever.
You know what? You don't think I have just boku enemies that would just love to have guests on to talk crap about me? But isn't it interesting that all three of them, they all went to a transvestite, open faggot reprobate. And you know why? Because God is showing people who's telling the truth and who's lying. That's why.
He said, well, it's a he said, she said thing.
Yep, you know what? And anybody who actually loves the Lord and loves the truth can easily figure out the truth because God in his providence worked it out where my enemies were too stupid to actually attack me in a way that could even be seen as legitimate, but they all went straight to literal Satan so that everybody who actually cares about the truth and what the Bible says will know that they're lying because Satan is the father of lies. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Oh, I called the preachers in the new IFB and they won't answer me. That's because you're full of crap. That's why.
God's not helping me. The pastors aren't helping me. They're not helping you because you're a liar.
That's why you had to go to the witch at Endor. The Bible says in verse 7, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a dude in drag. Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit. Another word for a familiar spirit is a demon. Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, it, them, that I may inquire of them, it, they, she, whatever the pronouns are, and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor, also known as Dead Domain. Now, if you would flip over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 10, verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13.
Well, I'm not there to watch the tranny.
Yeah, and I bet you buy Playboy magazine, but you're not there for the pictures. You're just there for the articles, right? You just read the articles, right?
I'm not there for the train.
Let me tell you something. I don't care if my worst enemy were being exposed on some transvestite channel. I would never share some transvestite video in a million years.
You say, well, this other pastor, you know, he uploaded a video of him interviewing a transvestite.
Well, you know, I didn't watch that crap and I never will. I don't look at transvestites. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. And you say, I don't know, man. Maybe you're a first-time visitor or something and you just walked in. You know what? Hey, all these doors open outward and half of them have push bars now, so... Feel free to get up and leave anytime. We're doing fine here. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also, why did he die? Why did Saul die? Also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. I mean, Saul going to the witch at Endor is like, that's it. You're done. You're dead. That's what God says in the word of God. No one on the side of truth is using a satanic broadcast to get their message out. I mean, why do I even have to say this? But you know what? People are so stupid that they don't understand this. And you know what? If you're too stupid, if at this point in the sermon, you're already too stupid to figure out who's telling the truth, please get up and just leave right now. Just get out of your seat. The piano will begin to play. Would you come and get out of here? Because you know what? I'm not here to babysit retards. Okay? It's a literal Satan channel. You know what? It's funny. On this same satanic channel, I went to the channel. I looked at what the most popular video is. You want to know what the most popular video is? It's this thing infiltrating a good Bible-believing Baptist church up in Spokane, Washington. And filming people, I guess, without... Now, here's the... I haven't seen 5 seconds of it, and I never will. But what's funny is that when this thing came out, everybody's sending me links. and say, oh, you got to see this. Like, I mean, even, you know, good people are sending me these things. And I'm just like, why would I watch this? I'm like, if these people are being filmed without knowing it, this guy's going into a Baptist church, filming his conversations with people. I don't want people filming me and recording me and uploading my private conversations. So why would I watch someone else, you know, do that? Why would I watch some documentary that's just about mocking or exposing the people who are just going to church, a Bible-believing church? I don't watch that junk.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm sure some of you have watched it, but you know what? I don't know why. I don't really understand why. And maybe you need to think about things like that in the future, that, you know, why would you do that? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And the fact, and you say, well, there's a subsequent interview that's not on the Tranny Channel. Watch that. Hey, the fact that all three of them, the first place they went was to a literal transvestite, shows you the wickedness and the lies. Yep. Shows you that it's a load of crap. Because if they had any righteous intention, they would not go to Satan and say, here, Satan, help me do this. That's point number one. Six to go. Point number two is that the accusations made against me are absurd. They are stupid and absurd and ridiculous. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word. Let me update the language there of the King James. The gullible believeth every word, is what that means. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. How about some of these? And look, I don't have time to sit here and go through all the hours and hours of junk, nor do I have to. But I will just point out a few things just to show you how ludicrous this is, okay? In the first video, my wife is repeatedly accused of being lazy. Oh, she's so lazy. And that just keeps coming up over and over again about how my wife is lazy. Let me tell you something. My wife is the hardest working person that I've ever met. Amen. In my life. My wife is way harder of a worker than I am. She gets up before me, she stays up after me, and she works her butt off. She's out there cleaning and cooking and doing all this stuff. She'll be up cleaning. It's like 11. I'm like begging her to go to bed. I'm like, you got to go to bed. I'm worried about you because you just work so much. She is an extremely hard worker. And guess what? Anybody who knows her knows that that's true. You know how many people have been around my family? You know how many people have been in my house? You know how many people have lived in my house for extended periods of time? I mean, have stayed with us for weeks or even months. We've had frequent house guests that have stayed with. My wife is a super hard worker, and anybody who even knows her at all would just know that that is just blatantly ridiculous and absurd. Like, that's not even close to being one of my wife's faults. I mean, it's just, it's kind of mind-blowing, to be honest, because my wife is such a hard worker. And then how about this? That I'm power hungry and obsessed with power? Again, anybody who knows me knows that this isn't true. You know, we got several hundred people here this morning, over 300 people here. Let me say this. Have I ever bossed you around? I mean, just think about it. I've been your pastor for how many years? Have I ever bossed you around? Have I ever told you what to do? Have I ever come over to your house and started bossing you and telling you how to run things and do things? No, I haven't. But I'm obsessed with power. It's funny. People were claiming that I was controlling my pastor friends and stuff like that. Pastor Bruce Mejia put out a video saying, you know what? I was on his payroll working for him and he didn't even tell me what to do. I was literally his employee. Anselm, you worked for us. Did I even tell you what to do? I mean, he said I've never even told him what to do. How does that even work? It's true, though. I don't tell Brother Segura what to do. I don't tell Raymond Cooper what to do. I don't tell Ramon Ventura what to do. I don't tell Corbin Russell what to do. Why? You know, I give them general principles. I explain to them the mission. I explain to them what needs to get done. And then I'm just like, all right, guys, let's get it done. And I give them tons of freedom. I let them do their own thing. Like, again, anybody who actually knows us just knows that these people are just throwing stuff at the wall, just lying and making crap up. How about this one? 20 spankings a day in my house with 1/3 of them being in violation of Arizona law. okay? Just let this sink in. 20 spankings a day, and approximately one-third of them. So apparently, seven times a day, or seven children a day, or seven incidents a day of just bruising and bloodying or whatever, you know, the stupid accusations are. Well, then, wouldn't somebody notice that over the last 20 years? Of us just being super involved in the community. I mean, it's not just that we go to church three times a week. We're super involved in the community. You know, in the summertime, we're hitting Pico's pool several times a week in the summertime, okay? We're literally involved in all of these homeschool groups, PE groups, all kinds of activities and stuff. But it's funny how nobody's ever seen or heard anything about this until this coordinated, organized attack with a stated goal of just taking me out of the ministry and getting me to step down as pastor. That's the stated goal. All of a sudden this comes. And you know what? It's hilarious to me that people would actually believe that kind of bizarre, exaggerated hyperbole and say, you know, it seems right, you know. You know, the Bible says, here's some good verses for you. Psalm 27:12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me and such as breathe out cruelty. How about this? Mark 14:56, for many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Funny how the first video, it was all me as the bad guy. My wife's great. Next video, my wife is the worst person ever, and I was, quote, all in all, a good dad. So which one is it? Right? But then that didn't sell very well. So then the next video is like, oh, you know, I'm sorry I was so positive about my dad. Let me just talk pure crap about him now. Is that what you guys want to hear?
I don't know, this looks really bad, Pastor.
Well, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Amen.
So number one, my accusers went to a literal Satan-worshipping transvestite. Number two, the accusations are absurd. We could just go on all day picking apart all the stupidity, the inconsistencies, and all those things. I'm not going to. Number three, how about this? Even the accusations that I'm being accused of are not even condemned by the Bible. How about that? How about the fact that even if all this stupid crap were true, which it isn't, it would be embarrassing. You could say it's bad. I don't like it. It's you know, you're weird or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm not even being accused of even violating the Bible. Look, if you would, at Exodus chapter 20. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Because Exodus chapter 20 is the summary of God's moral law, okay? The summary of God's moral law is found in the Ten Commandments, okay? So let's look at the summary of God's moral law together now, and we'll just briefly do this. We'll just do this quickly for sake of time, but how about verse 3, first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have I been accused of having any other gods before the Lord? Second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Okay, is that what, am I being accused of having an idol in a secret place? And I'm like, oh, Hare Krishna or something. No. Number seven, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Nobody's saying that I went around saying, you know, Jesus Christ as an expletive or something, right? Okay, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's not even a New Testament thing. But I don't think I'm being accused of being a Sabbath violator here. Okay? How about this? Honor thy father and mother. How about that? Am I being accused of not honoring my father and mother? And let me just go on the record right now. I had two wonderful parents, and I'm super thankful for my amazing Christian upbringing. How about this one? Thou shalt not kill. Am I being accused of killing anyone? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Have I been accused of adultery? Nope. Thou shalt not steal. Have I been accused of stealing anything? Nope. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Have I been accused of bearing false witness against my neighbor? Is that what this is all about? Is this a big thing? Hey, let's expose Pastor Anderson for bearing false witness against his neighbor. Is that what this is? Thou shalt not covet. No, because it's funny, because even my accusers, as they're trying to sit there and get them to say bad things about me, you know, so is Pastor Anderson in it for the money? Is that why he does? Is he profiting financially from the ministry? You know what my own accuser said? He said, no, actually, he doesn't care about money at all. He just kind of has the same possessions for years and years, and he just the same old stuff, and he just doesn't care about money at all.
Oh, well, if it's not sex and it's not money, it must be power.
Yep, that's it. It's power. I'm super power hungry. Right, Anselm? So the accusations aren't, we just went through the Ten Commandments. Now look, I understand that these are not the only commandments in the Bible, but you know what? If we went through the other 603 commandments of the Old Testament, you know what? You're still not going to find commandments that I violated. I'm just, I'm saving you time by just looking at the Ten Commandments as an overall summary of God's moral law. If you wanted, we could go through 600 commandments, and sin's the transgression of the law last time I checked. So number one, they went to a satanic transvestite. That should tell you everything you need to know. Number two, these accusations are absurd and not true. Okay? The witnesses' testimonies don't agree with each other. Number three is that even the accusations aren't even condemned by the Bible. It's just like, oh, you were mean and spanked too hard and just whatever stupid crap that isn't even true anyway. But number four, the accusers themselves are explicitly condemned by the Bible. And here's the thing, there's no faith required for this point. There's no he said, she said. I think we can all agree that the accusers are not honoring their father and mother.
Amen.
I mean, is there anybody here that would say that they are actually honoring their father? But that's actually in the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and mother, the Bible says in verse 12, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And here's another one. How about this? Verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And so my accusers are guaranteed to have done those two things right there. Two major violations of God's moral law. And so I'm being accused of stuff that's not even in the Bible. They're being accused of something that is in the Bible. And anybody with eyes that work, or even eyes that don't work, Stevie Wonder could see that they have violated these things. What does the Bible say? What did you say? Well, why are you in the Old Testament? Well, how about the New Testament? Here's Jesus, red letters, for those of you with the red letter edition. Matthew 15, 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Boy, that sounds like a pretty serious sin, to curse your father and mother. And yes, two of these people have cursed me by anyone's definition. There, Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. We are living in that generation. And you know what? You know what's so funny is that a lot of the reason why so many people have supported me is because they're just like, we're dealing with the same thing. We've already dealt with the same thing. We've already seen the same thing. We've already done it. We've already seen it. We already know about it. Because it's epidemic. And you know why? Because of garbage teaching, because of a garbage culture, because of feminist garbage, because of this backward, twisted, insane world that we're living in.
Amen.
And it's turning America into a cesspool because you've destroyed the family, you've destroyed the home, and it's going to ultimately destroy society.
Amen.
Parents do what's right and rule their home. The world doesn't back them up. No, the world's going to side with the victims or whatever.
Yep.
You know what the Bible says? Servants be subject. You say, well, they don't have to honor their parents if their parents aren't good parents. That's funny. The Bible says, servants be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also the froward. Now, look, that's not specifically about parents, but it shows that God in general is saying, obey authority, period. Oh, you obey authority. If that's your God-given authority, it doesn't say obey your mom if you feel like it. Obey your mom because she's nice. Obey your dad because he's the perfect dad. That's not what it says. It just says obey your parents. It just says honor your father and mother. But number five, go if you would to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me review the points again. Number one, Satan-worshipping tranny. Enough said. Number two, the accusations are absurd. Number three, the accusations aren't even condemned by the Bible. Number four, the accusers themselves are explicitly condemned by the Bible. And number five, I have proven that I am qualified to be a pastor. And you want to know how I've proven that I'm qualified to be a pastor? By successfully doing the job for 18 and a half years. Amen. That's how I proved that I'm qualified to be a pastor. You see, these scriptures are being taken out of context anyway, because this scripture in 1 Timothy 3 is about an untested, unproven guy. Like, who do we look for to put in this position? Well, let's look for a guy that has these essential qualities. Because we don't know if he can do the job. We don't know if he's going to be right. We don't know if he's going to succeed. Titus is saying, well, we need to ordain elders in every city, so let's look for a guy that checks these boxes. Okay, but imagine the stupidity of walking in to, let's say, an electrical contractor, right? Finding one of their most successful electricians who's been working there for 18 and a half years, successfully performing the job, and saying, this guy's unqualified. Stop this guy, he's an unqualified electrician. Bro, he's been doing the job for 18 and a half years and absolutely killing it. So what are we talking about here? You'd be laughed out of anywhere saying that someone who had successfully performed the job is unqualified. Let's look at what the Word of God says. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker. Now let's stop right there. No striker. Oh, that means you can't spank your kids. Are you dumb in any other area or just this one? Okay? Is it okay if I strike a match? Is that okay? Can I bowl a strike? I mean, stop and think about this, okay? What do you think the Bible means when it says, not a striker, not a greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous? So what does it mean, no striker, no brawler? Does it mean that you don't rule your house and you don't discipline your kids? Or do you think it means that you don't go out there as a hothead getting in fights? And let me tell you something, I piss people off for a living. And in the last 25 years, I have never been in a fist fight in the last 25 years. And let me tell you about some things that have happened over the last 25 years. I've been slapped in the face with an open palm many times over the last 25 years. Sort of like, you know, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock style. Okay? I've been slapped across the face with an open palm several times. But you know what? I made a decision even before I became a pastor. I made a decision. If someone slaps me in the face, I will turn the other cheek and I will not fight back, because I knew that if every time somebody shoves you, and I've been shoved a bunch of times. One time I literally got shoved so hard, somebody shoved me into a window and the window shattered. It was one of those old single pane windows. It was like a Western or something. And I was literally shoved into a window and it shattered. And you know what? I did not get in a fight, because I've never been in a fight in the last 25 years. Okay, the reason I say 25 years, when I was a teenager, just a young, you know, whatever. That was just stupid playground type stuff. But the point is that I made a decision a long time ago that if somebody shoves me, I'm not in danger. They're just trying to insult me. They're just trying to hurt my ego. They're just trying to hurt my pride. They're not actually trying. Somebody who's actually trying to injure you or harm you or kill you, they don't shove you. And you know what else they don't do? They don't slap you with an open palm. I mean, do you think in MMA fights, it's just like, psh, 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 psh. Now look, if somebody closed their fist and swung a closed fist at me, you know, depending on the situation, I'm probably going to fight back, unless I just felt I was in no danger. If I felt that I was in no danger, I still wouldn't fight back. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? But, you know, if somebody comes at me and with a, you know, then that seems like they're actually trying to hurt me, maybe kill me or whatever. And I'm not against defending yourself, but I am against defending your ego. I am against defending your pride, especially as a man of God. Because guess what? These are real things that over 18 and a half years of ministry have happened many times. I've been slapped. I've been shoved. I've got, you know, and guess what? I'm no striker. Right? And I'm no brawler. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Well, you know, even my enemies are explaining that to people. Not a brawler, not covetous. Again, my enemies are explaining that as well. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Let me just point out the operative phrase here, his own house.
Amen.
Not somebody else's house.
Right.
Ruling well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Let me tell you something. I have ruled well my own house, and I've had my children in subjection with all gravity. And you know what? All of the children that have ever that are living in my home now and have ever lived in my home in the past, at all points in time, were in subjection, and I was ruling well my house, period. And I'll prove that to you in a moment. But then here's the, we're going to come back to that about ruling well his own house. Let's just look at verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Again, let's use a little common sense here. The Bible is literally saying, if you can't rule well your own house, you will not be able to take care of the church of God. So please explain to me how my pastorate has been so wildly successful if I can't rule well my own house. That, then it would be impossible for me to take care of the church of God. Unless you don't believe this verse. Because this verse says you have to be able to do one to do the other. And look, when I say successful, I'm not just talking about numbers or something. I'm talking about real, genuine results. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about packing some stadium with a bunch of bodies for a Christian rock concert. I'm not talking about a bunch of fake stuff. You know, and I know, we're talking about real people being saved, real people being baptized, real lives being changed, real churches being started all over the place, real missions trips that are getting thousands of people saved. But you know what? That shows that I must be ruling well in my own house because I'm taking care of the church of God.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
I've successfully executed the office for the last 18 and a half years. And you know what? I've never gotten up and said anything like this before because the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. But you know what? If I'm going to be slandered and lied about and trashed by all these people, then I have the right to get up and defend myself with a little common sense that's easily verifiable. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Let me ask you this. How am I supposed to have an adult son in subjection with all gravity when he doesn't live in my house and he's married and has a kid of his own? Like, I'm supposed to have him in subjection with all gravity, right? How does that even work? Is that what you guys believe? Like, do you guys believe that you have the right to rule over another man's house? An adult son's house after he's out of the house, you're still the boss of that family? Is that what we believe? Because I don't think we do. Let's keep going. It says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now look, let's stop and think about this one for a second. This is clearly talking about when the guy starts. Because no preacher who actually preaches the word of God and has actually done the job of pastoring will have a good report of them which are without. Because the Bible literally promises that you'll be hated by the world and have a horrible reputation with this world. And that if the world loves you, you're a false prophet. I've literally had people throw this in my face. Well, you don't have a good report of them which are without because there's all these articles in the newspaper condemning you for preaching the word of God. Imagine the stupidity and absurdity of that. Okay? So here's my point, is that I've already proven that I'm qualified. If you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure if Pastor Anderson's qualified. Okay, did Pastor Anderson successfully do the job for 18 and a half years? Well, then he must be qualified. Just think about how stupid that is for a second. And by the way, this is not a new doctrine for me to say that that people have free will, that every individual decides whether or not they get saved, and no one can make that decision for them. Except for their own parents, and that people have to choose to serve God on their own, and that we can't control our adult children. And let me just prove that to you right now. Let me tell you who I have loved and supported consistently for the last 25 years, since long before I was a pastor, for 25 years straight. Who have I loved and consistently supported? Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles. You know, Brother Jack Hiles, who I believe is the greatest preacher of the 20th century.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that he was perfect. I'm not perfect. But you know what? Brother Hiles is the greatest preacher of the 20th century, who literally popularized the term soul winning, popularized the term Romans Road, okay, was greatly used by God. And let me say this, in 2024, all over America, in cities all across America, to this day, usually the best church in a city tends to be a Hiles Anderson graduate, even to this day. And you know what? Besides the church that you're sitting in, I think that the best church in this area is pastored by a Hollis Anderson graduate too. And so, you know, there you go, my friend. Because I've never bought into this idea that we can guarantee that the result, you know, and guarantee that our children after us as adults, when they're not even under our supervision or under our control, you know, are going to do what we taught them. Okay, and let's put this in, let's get a little perspective here for a second, by the way. Okay, let's talk about my four oldest children. Let me give you a little fact sheet on my four oldest children. All four of them are saved.
Amen.
All four of them are saved. And like I said, I don't even think that that's something that you can necessarily guarantee as a parent, but obviously a child who's growing up in a Christian home is infinitely more likely to get saved than one who's not. All four of them are saved. I don't doubt that for one second, okay? So let's put that in perspective. How about this? How about the fact that all of them are highly successful in their careers? How about that? How about the fact that they're all saved and successful? They're all smart. They're all healthy. They're all articulate. But I did such a bad job as a parent that all my kids are saved and succeed. Because, why? Because when I sent them out of the house, they had been well-educated. They had been kept healthy. They'd been taught good social skills, the ability to speak well, the ability to interact in society, the ability to manage their lives, the ability to do all these things, so that as soon as they left my house, they're just immediately super successful in their careers because I gave them all the tools to do that. And they can try to glorify themselves and say like, oh, well, that's just me. Well, that's funny because all of my kids are smart. All my kids are articulate. All of my kids have a hard work ethic. So explain that, right? Because I'm such a bad parent, right? It's not my fault that they're ungrateful. It's not my fault that they are spoiled little brats. It's not my fault that they're butthurt about whatever it is that they're butthurt about and want to just be this rebellious punk. That's not my fault. But the bottom line is, you know, put things in perspective a little bit, because you know what? One of Brother Heil's kids is like a super evil, wicked, reprobate person. And another one of his kids is, you know, sort of like these punks just going around talking crap about her dad and everything. And so the point is it's blown out of proportion. And guess what? The story is not over with my adult sons and daughter either. You know what I mean? Their story's not over. And let me just stop and say this too, buddy. Let's take the worst one, John. Let's talk about him for a second. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. While he was living in my house, I literally have seen him do so much soul winning. He went to all 21 reservations personally, including the one at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Okay, he went to all 21 Indian reservations personally and did soul winning. Okay, and he would get a bunch of people saved. And I would talk to his converts would talk to me. That's why I don't doubt his salvation at all. Because of the fact that I have taken him on so many missions trips and Indian reservation trips, small town soul winning trips, and I would be absolutely shocked if he has not won at least 100 people to the Lord personally in all of those years of soul, when he was under my roof, you know, when I was running his life. When I was ruling my house well and he was under my supervision and I was running his life, he was winning 100 plus people to the Lord is what he was doing. And you know what's so funny is a bunch of bozos online will maybe never even win 100 people to the Lord in your whole life.
Preach it.
And the black sheep of my family has already won more people to the Lord than you might ever win in your entire life. So, you know, that doesn't excuse his behavior right now. Obviously, it's super wicked. It doesn't excuse that. But I'm just giving a little perspective here for people who just want to blow this out of proportion and twist the facts. And by the way, define irony. How about pastors whose tiny churches are shrinking calling me out for being unqualified? Yep. How about that? Yeah. And I'm going to call them by name. Because they have called me out by name and slandered me by name. Right? And what's, here's what's funny is people are going to whine about me doing this, even though these guys have called me out by name, slandered me my name. Now everybody's going to get mad that I'm naming their names. Okay? How about Pastor Jared Pozarski in Fresno, who's been pastoring the church for 5 years and is running about 15? And every time I go there, the church is smaller than it was before. The church is smaller than when it started. Fact. I've been there. Have you been there? It just keeps. So the pastor of the incredible shrinking church is, he's qualified. He's super qualified, but I'm not qualified. I have been successfully pastoring for 18 and a half years, but I'm not qualified. Isn't that amazing? But then the qualified pastor is pastor of the incredible shrinking church. How about the other incredible shrinking church? Pastor Salvador Alvarez in Houston. Who? Pastor who? Pastor Salvador Alvarez, who got ordained 3 weeks ago. I think he has like two toddlers. He got ordained about 3 weeks ago. But you know what? He's been running that church for the last 5 months. And from what I've been told, and from what I've seen with my own eyes, that church has gotten smaller under his leadership. Now, look, I'm not saying it's all about numbers, my friend, but you know what? Maybe you should figure out whether you're qualified before questioning my qualifications. And how about this? And look, I'm not mad at these guys. Actually, I am mad at these guys. But what I meant to say is, I do not believe that these two guys are bad guys.
Amen.
I believe that they are saved. I believe that they love the Lord. I do not think that they are false teachers or wicked or anything. I believe they are saved men who love the Lord who are slandering me right now. Okay, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying you should leave their church. It'll get even freaking smaller than it already is. Don't do that. Look, I'm not saying to leave. I'm not saying they're bad guys, but I'm saying that it is super ironic for somebody who has not succeeded to point at somebody who has succeeded wildly and say, you're not qualified.
Right.
You know what? And if you think that's too mean for me to say that, I don't know what to say. It's funny how people can be super mean to me, and then I can just point out, like, the elephant in the room. You know, that micro-Baptist is telling me. And here's the thing. And look, here's the thing. I'm not saying, again, that it's all about numbers, because you know what? If he's going to humbly pastor. And my dad just asked Pastor Pozarski the other day, recently, he said, how many people go to your church? He said, 20, and I'm fine with that. Okay, but here's the thing. That's fine. Humbly pastor your 20 people then. Humbly pastor your 20 people 5 years in. But you know what? Don't sit here and tear down a man of God who's in the middle of a fight, and you're kicking him while he's down, and you haven't even proven that you're qualified yet.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
I've already proven that I'm qualified.
Yeah.
Pastor Jason Robinson in West Virginia, I saw him online promoting the tranny video. And let's just go back to point number one. If you're posting a video of a transvestite, you're not right with God. You're posting a Satan worshiper, a literal pentagram on a lamb's forehead, dude in drag. Folks, my friend, let me just back up and say it again. Click on the video that these people are promoting. The first 5 seconds, the first few minutes is a guy in a dress, wearing makeup, in drag. So go ahead and promote Boy George, okay? But, I can't believe it. Oh, man, this video. Oh, you got to see this video. You got to watch this video. Are you into trannies now? But number six, and here's a key point. Don't miss this one. Point number six, because the point number five is that I've already proven that I'm qualified. And I've never taught that I'm responsible for what adults do after they leave my home. And I've proven that that's not some new doctrine or doctrine of convenience, because I've supported Brother Hiles since before I was even married or since before my kids were even born. And everybody knows that Brother Hiles' kids did not turn out right, unfortunately. And I still believe that Brother Hiles is the greatest man of God of the 20th century. But number six, and do not miss this point. This is a really key point here. If I'm supposedly unqualified now, that means I was unqualified in 2010. How about that? Because of the fact that a lot of these accusations are about stuff that supposedly happened 10 or 15 years ago. It's not like my marriage or my parenting has changed anytime recently. They're bringing up crap from 10, 15 years ago, exaggerating, embellishing, blowing it out of proportion, because that's how stories tend to get 10 or 15 years later. They sort of take on a life of their own. You get people talking to each other and riling each other up, egging each other on with these wild stories. That means that if I am supposedly unqualified now, I was unqualified when After the Tribulation came out. I was unqualified when the Revelation series came out. I was unqualified when New World Order Bible versions came out. I was unqualified when Marching to Zion came out. I was unqualified when Babylon USA came out. I was unqualified when Beyond Jordan came out. My home has not changed. It's not like I just started some radical regime in my house or something like that. And these kids are even saying, oh, my parents have mellowed out. That means, I guess if I'm unqualified now, I guess I was super unqualified in 2010, 11, 12, 13. So that means I was unqualified before the soul winning marathons across America even started. I guess I was unqualified before any of these mission trips. I guess I was unqualified before winning about 200,000 people to the Lord. And by the way, you know what our church was running in 2010? About 50 to 60 people. But it's amazing how as soon as I started getting really unqualified, the church just started exploding in growth and we started just getting just multitudes saved and baptized and doing all these great works and seeing all these churches started. The very churches that are now, you know, throwing me under the bus when literally their church has literally been founded by Faith Forward listeners. And by the way, you know what's interesting is I don't remember anybody here in our church. I mean, we got, you know, 300-some people here this morning. I don't remember any of you being reached by one of my pastor friends and then joining Faith Forward Baptist Church. And maybe there's one or two. Is there anybody that would say, I didn't even know who you were, Pastor Anderson. I was reached by one of your pastor friends. That's how I got saved. And then I ended up in your church. Is there anyone like that in the whole building? Not even one. Okay, now let's go to all these churches and ask that same question. Let's go to every single one of my pastor friends' churches and ask the same question. Say, how many people here were personally won to Christ by Pastor Steven Anderson, or you personally got saved by watching Pastor Steven Anderson online, and that's how you found out about our church? And it's going to be, well, I'm not asking you guys, it'll be the whole building. The hands are already going up. I'm like, no, I'm not even asking you guys. I'm saying if we went to all of my pastor friends' churches. Funny, when I go preach at their churches, and look, hey, I speak as a fool. You know, you've compelled me to defend myself, bozos. Yep. Yeah. I don't like doing this. Yeah. But you know what? When I go to preach at their churches, there's first-time visitors show up to hear Pastor Anderson. Funny, when they preach here, first-time visitors don't show up to hear them. It's just the regulars that come to hear them. It's just our people that come to hear them, right? But it's amazing how I've been unqualified since 2010. Right? Think about it. So it's amazing how I've been unqualified from 2010, but I just wish I could be more like these guys that are qualified. So maybe I could do some of the great works that they've done and have some of the success that they've had. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. And look, I don't ever want to preach a sermon like this again.
Amen.
But you know what? Everybody's just telling me how you have to say something. You have to defend yourself. You owe it to us. Well, you know what? Be careful what you wish for. You want it? You got it. Coming right up. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And you know what I want to say to some of these people that are attacking me is I want to say that if you think I'm unqualified, that means that I was already unqualified before you even got saved listening to my preaching. Right. And you know what's funny? They're like, well, why would your kids rebel against you. I don't know. You're my spiritual kid. Why are you rebelling against me, punk? You want to know what makes a child be ungrateful, undeserving brat who rebels against their parent? Go look in the mirror. If I won you to the Lord, because I can't even count how many of these people are like, you won me to Christ, Pastor Anderson, but you're so bad. Amen. You are literally exactly like my rebellious physical children. You're just the rebellious spiritual children. It's the same exact thing.
Preach it. Well, yeah, but somebody's got to tell me why.
Only you can answer that question, bozo, because you're literally the same way. So maybe you should be answering that question for me. Maybe you should explain that to me if I won you to Christ and now you're throwing me under the bus because of what's been said on a satanic transvestite channel. Oh, man, this is such a tough decision. I don't know. It's like, who do you trust? Satanic transvestite channel or Pastor Anderson? Oh, man, I got to pray about this. Hey, I'm just going to be Switzerland on this. I'm going to be Switzerland on this one. You know what? If you're Switzerland, go to freaking Switzerland because I don't want you here. Because you need to get on the Lord's side. You need to get on the man of God's side and not be on the fence about this. Because you know what? Guess what? If it's on a satanic channel, that's like your first little clue from God. Because again, it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be on a Satan worshiper's channel. The first one didn't have to put it on a Satan channel. The second one didn't have to put it on a Satan channel. The third one didn't have to put it on a Satan. You want to know why they all put it on a Satan channel? Because God allowed it to go down that way to show people who's telling the truth. So that people wouldn't have to be struggling to figure out who's telling the truth. They can just know that my wife and I and all the other witnesses that have said that they're lying, that they're telling the truth. And it's so funny how they're just like, well, there's two or three witnesses. Well, you know what? I got two or three witnesses saying it didn't happen. So what now? Now it just becomes a matter of satanic tranny versus man of God who has succeeded for the last 18 and a half years. And look, I haven't succeeded by the world standards. I'm saying I've succeeded spiritually, like getting people saved, like, you know, starting soul winning movements across America and fighting all these battles for the Lord. And lastly, I'll say this, point number 7, once you realize that they're lying, it's wicked to keep listening to their crap. In fact, I would say it was wicked to even listen to their crap in the first place. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. And like I said, you don't think that people have made videos lying and slandering my pastor friends, and I didn't even watch it for 5 seconds? Some of these same channels and same platforms have had these interviews with people from their past and different weird stuff and all this crap, and it's all lies, and I know it's stupid and it's garbage and it's satanic. That's why I don't listen to any of it for even 5 seconds. I don't give ear to a naughty tongue. I don't listen to lies. But you know what? We live in this weird busybody society where everybody's this voyeur and they want to know what's going on in Pastor Anderson's house. And by the way, let me just, there's so much to say, but let me just stop and say this. How would you, those of you who've actually lived life, I'm not talking about you little teenagers and young adults who you haven't even lived life yet. Okay. How many of you that are actually middle-aged would like the last 20 years of your life distilled down to the darkest, worst moments and then exaggerated, embellished, distorted, blown out of proportion, and then just add in some outright lies for good measure? Huh? Would you, even if it were just true things, would you want the last 20 years of your life, all of the darkest moments, to be all distilled, forget all the good times, forget all the nice things, and just all the worst moments, and then paint them all in the worst light, in the worst context, and then distort, and then just add outright lies? Huh? Think about it, my friend. But what's funny is when someone does that to someone else, you listen to it. I'll bet when people call you by mistake, when they butt dial you, I'll bet you don't even hang up. You just listen. See what's really going on over there. You know, see what they're saying when they don't know that they're on the line. You're probably one of those people that just keeps listening instead of just being like, oh, they called me by mistake, hang up. You're jamming the phone to your ear because it's so quiet and you're trying to hear and see what's going on in that background. You voyeur weirdo. (Clears throat) Obviously, I could go on and on. I think I've made the main points that I wanted to make. You know, we could do this all day. We could talk about this all morning. But let me just say this. Here's what's funny is what's funny is that people are supporting me.
Yeah, but you know, it's the Miriam video that got me though. Yeah. You know.
Oh, you're talking about the video where the host is in a dress, wearing makeup, Boy George, right out of the gate, first few minutes. Because at least like he tried to look like semi-normal in some of the interview. I mean, he still looks like a freak, but like. I mean, this one is just, he's just fully in drag. So that's the one that did it for you, huh? All right, dumbass, there's the door. And you want to know what's funny about that? Is that my daughter, Rebecca, sat down and watched that entire video. And she was enraged, and she said that there is no truth in this video. She said that this video is not even based on kernels of truth. She said that every single story in the video was either fabricated or it was something that happened to her or John being just distorted and made 1,000 times worse. But it was like, she said, I felt like I had my identity stolen a few times. And then the coup de grace was when they put a picture of Rebecca on the screen and said it was Miriam. Like that was, she's like, that's it, I'm done. But you know, and let me just say this too. You wanna know why I will never back down? Because I was there. So you can sit there and say, well, I don't know, it looks bad. Look, what am I supposed to believe? It looks bad. But here's the thing, even if the entire world believes this crap, I will never believe it because I was there. How can I believe it when I was there? I lived it. I know it's lies. So the whole world could tell me that it's not. Sorry, I know it's a lie because I was there. I mean, again, I could just go on and on. It's like it was surreal watching that video. For her to say, oh, he came and screamed at me in Target and made a big scene in the Target. When what's funny is, in South Carolina, what's funny is when I went to the Target in South Carolina, I never even saw her. Right. I was never in the same room with her. I never saw her. I never interacted with her. I never talked to her. And so literally, for all I know, her hair could have been blonde, brown, black, red, short, long. Because I don't even know what she looked like that day. I don't even know what she was wearing that day. Because I literally didn't even interact with her. By the time I got there, she was in a room. And there was some loss prevention guy standing outside protecting her from her parent. And the sheriff's deputy went in and talked to her. I never even saw her, let alone talked to her, let alone interacted with her, let alone raise my voice. I didn't raise my voice to anyone, and I didn't even talk to her. But so to hear her say, oh, my dad's screaming at me and making a scene. You know what? That's when I knew. You know what? She's not delusional and, like, actually believing that these things are true because there's no way that she believes that. Like because, you know, because it's one thing you wonder sometimes when people are lying, like, are they just so twisted in their mind that they actually have just like twisted these things in their mind and believed them? Because, you know, sometimes when people lie, they convince themselves and twist things up in their mind, distort reality in their mind. But folks, when it's just that out there, you know what I mean? Just, oh, scissors, throwing scissors at people's faces and all this crazy. It's like once it gets that far out there, you're just like, there's no way that she believes any of this. Like, there is no way that she believes in this. She is literally a trained actress. She is literally a theater major, okay? Let me tell you about bad old dad here. For the last year, I drove her to Mesa Community College twice a week to take classes down there to finish up her high school. Because all my kids are homeschooled, but I had them doing like a dual enrollment, okay? So that by the time she finished high school, she would have a 2-year degree in theater because she loves theater and she's acted in like some Christian theater groups around the valley and they've been involved in little Christian theater programs and she even got some pretty good roles. She had one like pretty much lead, one of the leading roles in Annie. She was the villain in Annie, okay? But, you know. But the funny thing is, like, the funny thing is, I'm sitting there, and by the way, that was my idea. That was my idea to put her in dual enrollment. She's like, oh, I just had to have this plan to get away with my parents, so I decided I was going to do it. Do you really think that a kid in my house just comes to me and announces to me at 16, I'm going to Mesa Community College so I can get out when I'm 18? No. That my, you know, if any kind of, if something like that happened in my house, it'd be because I approved it. Because not only did I approve it, it was my idea. Okay, but here's the thing. I'm not just going to send her down there. I'm not going to send my 16-year-old daughter to just go, okay, here you go. Go to this worldly school. Go to this worldly public school on your own and just do it. No, I drove her down there every single time she had class, which was twice a week. I was there with her. I drove her there, stayed on campus, drove her back. I watched her. I saw who she hung around with. I supervised everything that was going on, giving her a little bit of freedom as she's getting older, but not just throwing her to the wolves, but being there and supervising. And you know what? I can tell you right now, and I know one of my pastor friends whined about me saying this, but I'm going to say it again because it's literally a direct quote from the Bible. God is my witness. Amen. Okay, God is my witness. Amen. Hey, God is my witness that I drove her down there every day, and we had a great relationship. And I would say we had the best relationship between a father and daughter that I could even imagine. People accused her of being my favorite child. And you know what? Anybody who's actually been around us knows that. Anybody who's actually hung around with us. You know, I went to the King James Conference with her, and twice people thought she was my wife. And I said, say not thou art my wife. Say that thou art my daughter. You know? I mean, literally, I'd take her on mission trips, took her on the road trip. Everybody thought she was my wife just because she looked old for her age. And the thing is, you know, we had such a great dynamic. We're just buddies. We're just friends. We're just super cool. And that's why this is so mind-blowing and shocking to me, because I'm telling you, look, I sat there in that car with her, there and back, week after week after week, hanging out, having fun, joking around, talking, having a great relationship, hitting up Chipotle, hitting up Jamba Juice for those waffle yogurt bowls, and just hanging out, having fun, being good. But you know what? I wasn't spoiling her because I had rules. You know, and there were many, many times when it's like, hey, your skirt's too short, change it. Dress is too short, change it. It's got to be down to the knees. Okay? Hey, too much makeup. Right? It wasn't like, hey, put on a bunch of makeup to cover all the bruises. You know, it was like, no. I didn't look. And by the way, my wife and I have been married for 24 years. I don't want to screw this up. My wife and I have been married for 24 years. In 24 years, she put on makeup one time, and I said, you're never going to do that again. Don't ever do that again. I don't like makeup. My wife never wears makeup. My wife has not worn makeup in about 20 years. And she wore it literally, I think, once the whole time we've been married that I can remember. And it's something I've kind of tried to push out of my mind because I don't like it. But the thing is, and look, I've tried to encourage my daughters not to wear makeup, you know, and it's like you fight these battles and everything, but you kind of choose your battles. And so finally it's like, okay, well, you know what? You can wear makeup, but like, I don't want it to just look like you're caked in makeup. You know what I'm saying? So like but there were how many times when I said, hey, go wash your face. Like, you're not going out of the house looking like that. So it's not like I'm a pushover that just let her do whatever she wanted. I had rules. We had reasonable rules. Okay. You know, and by the way, we let her go on dates with guys. And you know what? I did not, the whole time she was here in Arizona, I never vetoed a date with a single guy. Every guy that she wanted to go out with, I approved of, which was like four or five different guys that she gone on dates with at different times. And I approved of all of them, you know, because they were all clean cut, good Christian guys. And, you know, there are times when it's like, okay, we're going to go to this restaurant, whatever. And it was like, okay, you know, he's not going to pick you up. You know, you're going to drive down there separate and you're going to go to this restaurant and it's a public place. And we gave her space. We gave her, and anybody, hey, guess what? You want to know why? Hey, internet idiots, you want to know why my church supports me? Because how many people know that what I'm saying is true? Because they're friends with the people involved. They are the people involved. They were there.
Yep. Amen.
Everybody here who knows her knows that she's a trained actress. Everybody here who knows her knows that everything I'm saying is true. And that I sat there and would just know what restaurants he's at and just kind of drive by, look through the window, make sure everything's kosher. Supervising, but giving space. You know what? I am not some super obsessive psycho dad over here, okay? But you know what? We had rules. And I do think you should have rules for your children. And you should have rules for your teenagers. And you know what? I'm not going to let my teenagers or children or anyone else, I'm not going to let them intimidate me into not enforcing the rules as I see fit.
Amen.
I'm the boss in my house.
Yep.
My kids are not going to threaten me, scare me, try to intimidate me. I am going to rule my house as I see fit. Not as you see fit, not as they see fit. God is my judge. My children are not going to judge me. Last time I checked, the parents judge the children and not vice versa. And so look, I want to say this, that God is my witness. My daughter and I got along super well, had an awesome relationship, and had no problems until she went to go live with my weirdo brother, Clint Anderson. And you know what? You can believe me or not believe me, but God is my witness that is true. Take it or leave it. It's a fact. Because she and I, and she knows, if she's watching this, she knows that that's true. Because she was in all those same car rides, all those same Chipotles, all those same Jamba Juice, all those trips, all that road trip, all that time that we spent on missions trips and whatever, riding around on a scooter on the mission field, on one of those little scooters. You know what I mean? Like, it's not exactly a motorcycle, but it's close. Not quite that cool. Riding around on a scooter, winning people to Christ or trying to, pulling over and talking to people, giving the gospel, right? So terrible. So horrible. And look, like I said, I could go on all day. But you know what? If you were too stupid to get it after the first point, I don't think anything I've said since then can fix you.
Amen.
And so here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. I'm not claiming to have been perfect. I'm not claiming to have been sinless. I'm not claiming I was a perfect parent or a perfect husband or a perfect pastor. I've made mistakes as a parent, as a pastor, as a husband. Of course, I'm not saying I'm perfect. But you know what? In general, I have been a great husband, not a good husband, a great husband, a great father, and a great pastor.
Amen.
And you know what?
Amen.
I'm not one that toots my own horn. And you know, you can go back and listen to 2,000 hours of my preaching online, and you will not find me tooting my horn.
Amen. Yep.
But I am tooting my horn this morning because I am being hit with the most ridiculous attack. And I feel like this attack, you know, maybe this is me just being a little bit dramatic. I feel like it's worse than anything that I can even find in the Bible. Because I'm looking at the story of Absalom, and I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't have sex with Bathsheba, and I didn't kill Uriah. So what's going on here? And so look, I'm not saying I've been perfect, but I've been a great husband and a great father. I've succeeded as a pastor. And you know what? If I stopped pastoring today, you know what? It was a hell of a run. Because you know what? At the end of the day, no one can take away from me the works that I've already achieved.
Amen.
And so literally, if I retired right now after 18 years of service, if I retired right now and walked away, you know what? It was great. The accomplishments are magnificent.
Amen.
Beyond anything that I ever could have imagined. When I started pastoring, I just thought I just wanted to be just another Baptist pastor. I never even imagined the incredible amount that God has blessed and the incredible work that God's done. And it's not because I'm special, because I'm not. I'm just an average guy. I'm just an ordinary guy. But I love the Lord.
Amen.
And I read the Bible all day. And I preach everything. And I'm not scared of the consequences of preaching the truth. And I'm not scared of punk teenagers or punk young adults. You know, whatever. And so I'm not stepping down.
Amen.
I'm not stepping down. I'm not sorry.
Amen.
I'm not repentant because I'm not guilty.
Amen.
And if I were, you know, theoretically to retire from the ministry, it would only be because I'm sick of my wife and I being crapped on by people that we've served for years. If I ever do stop, that'll be why. People have free will. And unfortunately, you know, people are often wicked. If I knew how to make people get saved, you know, I wish I knew that. And like I said, all, you know, the people involved here are saved anyway. That's not even relevant. But if I knew how to make people love God and serve God, you know what? If I could know one thing in this world, that's the one thing I would want to know. And how can I make people love God? How can I make people want to serve God? I don't know. But here's what I found, though, is I found that over the last 18 and a half years, and obviously I was serving God long before I became a pastor, so over the last 25 years of serving God consistently, soul winning consistently, for the last 25, 26 years, here's what I found. You sow the seeds, you preach, you knock doors, you preach the gospel, you preach sermons, and you don't know which seeds are going to prosper and which ones are. So you just sow the seeds everywhere, and you can't predict which people are going to pan out, which people aren't. You just don't know. But you know what? You just keep serving God, keep serving God, keep serving God. You know what? And if none of my biological children follow in my footsteps, I have hundreds of thousands of spiritual children, and they can follow my footsteps. Amen. And plus, like I said, you know, these particular children, their story's not even over anyway. You know, and I have 8 children living in my home, and all 8 of my children are happy, healthy, smart, doing great. Yep. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for making things clear in this situation for those that are mentally handicapped, that even they could understand it, Lord. And so we just pray that you'd please just bless our church, Lord. Thank you so much for such a wonderful group of people that have been through so much with us, Lord. And thank you for all the blessings that you've blessed us with beyond our wildest imaginations, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue to do great things through this church. And Lord, please just bless me personally, bless my wife. Lord, bless my children that are still in my home. And Lord, I pray that you would just let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let's turn to song 406, Who is on the Lord's Side? 406.
Who is on the Lord's side, who for him will. Amen.